Welcome to Everything But the Lesson Plan podcast, where we discuss tips, tools, and resources for teachers to thrive in and out of the classroom. I am your host, Francesca Thompson, and in today's episode, we're diving into the topic that is crucial for educators. What is your number? Retirement planning for teachers. I am joined today by Leticia Smith, a founder and CEO of Premier Tax and Business Solutions, and we will take a deep dive into retirement planning and how it is not just about financial security, but it's just about honoring your community, your commitment as well, your commitment as an educator every day and ensuring that you understand the financial support that's needed after you retire. So welcome to the show, Leticia. How are you?
I am fantastic. Thank you so much for asking. We're in tax season. So for us, it's one of those hurry up and go type things, but we love it. We love it here.
Yeah. And when is the last day to file?
Well, the last day is supposed to be the 15th, but that doesn't necessarily mean that that's the last day that people actually file. There's a thing that's called an extension. So it depends on whether or not people take advantage of that, then that would extend our season, which is in October, if that is the case.
Got it. Well, that's good to know. Well, today we are definitely going to jump into retirement. This is one of those topics that people just don't want to face head on because it requires some time, it requires something of them and they don't know how they can fulfill it. So that's probably why when I did my research, this one of the articles stated that approximately 45% of teachers could not identify their retirement plan and 30% are unaware about how long their benefits will last. And I think that's a bigger thing as well. In addition to that, Education Week said that most teachers won't have enough retirement savings under the pension plans. So let's get into these questions, my dear. Hopefully you can help us.
Okay.
How do teachers know if they're saving enough for their future?
That is an excellent question. And what I like to talk to my clients about is really the number is based off of a couple of things. One is, when is your expected retirement age? You know, that varies for different people. The second question I ask is, what do you currently have, you know, other than your pension that will be available for you during retirement? And honestly, even though those first two questions to me are important, to me, the most important question that I like to ask is, what are your plans at retirement? For instance, when you retire, do you want to travel? When you retire, if you have grandchildren, do you just want to be at home and spend more time with your grandkids? And what would that look like? If you and your spouse are married and you retire, are there any other things that you want to do? Maybe some people want to get one of those houses on that's on wheels and travel around the world that way. And really and truly, that's where we have to start. Because based off of your answer to those questions, that's how we begin to determine what retirement would actually look like for you and what that number would look like.
And so let me help you. So I'm a new teacher. I just graduated. This is just hypothetical. I'm not a new teacher. All right. But just hypothetically, I'm a new teacher. I just graduated from college. I landed my first job. I'm in my early 20s and retirement looks a long way away for me. So a lot of these questions that you have, I don't know if I'm in the mindset, but when should we start planning and when should we really, really take it seriously?
To be honest with you, that's exactly when you should be planning. And a reason for that is because first and foremost, it's about habit. A lot of times people don't really think about retirement or the number is because they're thinking that it's going to require a lot of money that they really don't have to retire. Mm-hmm. And so who wants to be stressed out? Okay, I already am not making enough for my job. And then now you're telling me I need to figure out how to get even more money to plan for retirement.
Yes.
But the thing is that when you are younger, more often than none, your expenses is not going to be as much as someone who actually has a family. Someone who has other responsibilities, i.e. they purchased a home, they have car payments, you know, things of that nature. And so what that means then is that $25, even $100 a month is something that if you start early enough over a period of time will be a lot easier to budget than someone who starts in their 40s and 50s, that now that $100 is more like $3,000 because you're getting ready to retire in 5 years. Which, looking at it from that perspective, if you had an additional $3,000 to be able to say, I can set aside, you probably might have retired 5, 10 years prior to where you are right now. So even though technically you're young, you're between 22 and maybe 25 years old, and you're thinking, you know what, retirement is far off for me. I don't want to think about that right now. To be honest with you, that is exactly the time that you should be thinking about it because the cost of the benefit for you starting early is greater than someone who waited 15, 20 years later.
Yes, and I would definitely agree. And it's just like you said, it's habit, mindset, all of that. And
Yes,
people
ma'am.
have to start early, because if not, it's just going to take more to you're going to have more savings to do, and that's not fun. So definitely start early and looking into it. Now, people who transition into education later on in life, they might be in their late 30s, early 40s, sometimes even late 50s. Hopefully they have had some type of retirement in their previous careers. But one of the things that a lot of teachers think about is how you don't necessarily, a lot of school districts don't have you paying into Social Security, and you receive the pension. So what should we know about that we're not paying into Social Security?
So one of the things that you can do to help, I wouldn't say really alleviate, but help with that is I am an advocate for entrepreneurship. So for me, I am all about, okay, if I have a job now that I do have benefits, in this example, having a pension, but because I'm not paying Social Security, you know, what is supposed to be money that I will be able to draw from, you know, at a certain retirement age, then I don't have that to add in addition to my pension. So knowing that, then your only options would be one of two things. Either you would have to get a part-time job in which that job is paying into it. But me, I like the latter, which is being an entrepreneur. You're already a teacher. Utilize that to your advantage. And how do you do that is a great question. Okay, I can tutor now. You know, what subject are you teaching right now that you can tutor? If you don't want to tutor, maybe you are someone that is good at dance. Maybe you are someone that is good at choreography. Maybe you are someone that is good at playing a music or an instrument. Whatever that looks like for you, utilize what you already have and start a business in doing that. And so what ends up happening is that now you're creating this extra income that if you do it the right way, either one of two things are going to happen. Either one, when you file your taxes, you're paying into Social Security at the time you file your taxes. Or if you do it the right way, you can put yourself on payroll on that business. And then guess what? Now you're paying into Social Security.
That's good. That's a really, really, really good tip. I love that one. So starting a business can help you set yourself up not only to save extra money, but also if you do it correctly, you can pay yourself, and then that helps you feed into Social Security.
Correct.
Good, good, good tips. So when we think about retirement, you said some of the things that we need to know before retirement. You need to know your expected retirement age. You need to know what else do you have other than a pension, and then the things that you like to do, travel, stay at home. I know for me it's traveling, right? So what else do they need to think about?
Outside of that, healthcare. That is huge because again, we're getting older, you know, and so with us getting older, we may need a little help in certain areas to help make sure that we're on top of our health. That can be something as simple as having multivitamins and supplements of that nature. And for some people, it just depends on their health. It could be, you know, hypertension, which is, you know, very common, you know, in an African American community. It could be a variety of other things. So one of the things that, you know, you have to look at in, okay, is what is healthcare going to cost me when I retire? Most people, when they retire, if I'm not mistaken, they can still have a healthcare plan. But if you recall, your benefits and what you're paying into healthcare now, you typically get a better rate because you're on what's called a group rate, meaning you and hundreds of other teachers are all together in this group. And so, let's say, for the sake of this example, what it would cost you to have medical and dental and vision, let's say it's $300 every time you get paid. Well, now that you're retired, you're no longer on a group plan. So that means that that insurance that was costing you $300 during the time you was working may actually be $600 every time you get paid. This time, you don't have a paycheck. So that might be $1,200. So we'll be looking at it from the perspective of the numbers. It was $300 every time you got paid, let's say twice a month, that's $600. Now it has doubled to $1,200.
Ooh.
You're now looking into healthcare. While you may have this pension, let's say for the sake of example, is paying you $5,000 a month, you have to now back out this $1,200 just for healthcare. So that leaves you what, less than 5,000. So now you're at $3,800.
Okay, so let me ask you this. I don't know if you know the answer to this because I, you know, when we were talking, when I was planning this subject, I wasn't even thinking about the healthcare part. What happened with the Obamacare piece? Is that for people who want to retire
I mean, you
or?
absolutely can, but again, the question goes back to when we're thinking about the Affordable Care Act, that's going to get insurance to the marketplace. You absolutely can do that if you would like. But again, we started this off talking about how when you are a teacher, you're in a group plan. So being in a group plan, you get a better rate. Even though you're going and you're getting insurance through the Affordable Care Act, again, you're no longer in a group. So what you're paying as a group is not going to be the same as what you're paying. Even if you want to add in your family, it's still going to be a little bit more expensive.
So, all right, so let's help the teachers out, right?
Okay.
Because this topic is one of those topics that people are, I think it's almost as scary as taxes, right? For some people, because people just say can't understand it and they don't know and they just think it's just going to be a lot. What should I do now if I don't know about my retirement plan?
What you need to do now is the question that we talked about earlier, but the other most important part of the questions as well that we didn't discuss yet is knowing your debt ratio. In other words, if you have a mortgage, okay, you have car payment, you have credit card debt, personal loan debts, student loan debts, any of these debts that you may currently have, you need to be able to look at, okay, based off of my income, how much of my income is going towards this debt? Number one. The second thing is, are you in position or at any given point to be able to pay any of these debts off? And if you are, when? In other words, I've had a 30-year mortgage. I've been working for the last 25 years. I'm going to be retiring 5 years. So it's safe to say, if you stayed on that trajectory, your mortgage will be paid off in 5 years. So you go from having this $1,500 debt to now at retirement, you no longer have that. So you have to be looking at these things as well, because that will also affect whether or not what you are getting at retirement is going to sustain you when it comes to what your debt is going to look like.
Okay, this is good, y'all. I hope y'all are taking notes. Find out what when do you want to retire? What do you have in your pension? How do you want to live after retirement? Even if you're in your 20s, the goal is for you to thrive when you retire. So what does that look like? What is your debt ratio? I have a good friend of mine who, two of them actually, who specifically plan to make sure that their mortgage is paid off right before they retire. And I was like, that's a great idea, right? Because who wants to deal with that? And then I have a few that are in that they got to get that car, another car, and they just want to go ahead and get one before they retire and try to pay that off as well so that they don't have to deal with this, you know, having a lot of debt. for their income, that their retirement income. So what happens though if I outlive my retirement money and I did not pay into Social Security? So I am out here living my best life. I was healthy and I didn't save quite where I needed to save. So what happens next?
Unfortunately, you're going to be in a pickle. And that's the best way I can say it. Because let's say, for the sake of this example, you are, let's say, maybe 60 years old and you're now retired. You didn't save. And according to what you have and what you projected, you may have enough funds for the next 10 years. And let's fast forward and say, for the sake of this example, we're now in the 11th year. And again, you didn't do any of those other things. You're now in a situation to where either you got to go back to work, which is why you see some of these greeters in Walmart, or you have to go back to what you used to do before that was great. You was a teacher. So now you're tutoring at 70 years old.
Oh
I
my
hate to
goodness.
say it, but that's kind of the situation you put yourself in. There are some programs out there for people who have a house that is paid for. That I believe is called reverse mortgage. I myself, because I have been in the real estate field, I don't like things like that, but that is absolutely an option that you can be able to utilize and get pretty much getting equity out of it to help you to survive off of. The key to that is when you die, because we are going to die, then now the person who you left to take care of your finances, i.e., whether it's your spouse or your children, now they're left to take up that responsibility, which brings me to my next thing. You need to also have estate planning. Estate planning is huge, and unfortunately, we don't talk a lot about that. This is beyond just having a will. I have experienced this personally in my family, to where I've had an aunt and uncle that passed away within a week of each other. Prior to that, they both were very, very sick, and my mother was their primary caregiver. Unfortunately, when they passed, there was no will. So, of course, all of a sudden, those individuals that were not there to take care of them when they passed, now they're showing up trying to figure out what they can get. And it just creates a lot of issues within the family. Had they had an estate and everything written and documented, you can't argue with what's in black and white. You can't argue with what's in the state of South Carolina, which is where I'm from. And so again, as people are planning for retirement, it is very critical that they also put together and have an estate.
Yeah, that's good. That's a great tip as well. So you have given us a tremendous amount of information, and I'm a researcher, so I would say with the things that Letitia has brought to the table today, just take some of the few things that you're not that familiar with and start researching that. Start there. Because like I said, the podcast is about providing you with tips in and out of the classroom because we want you to thrive and definitely thrive after you retire. You've done all the work. It's time for you to live your best life, continue to live your best life. Leticia, is there anything else that you would like to add before we close out today?
I would say that don't let retirement scare you or that worry. Don't let planning for that scare you at all. It should be fun. It should be exciting, especially when you start thinking about it from the perspective of what do I want to do when I retire? You know, I hear, and I've heard this a lot, and I'm sure Ms. Thompson, you've heard this, knowledge is power. And me, myself, I like to add and say applied knowledge is power.
That's
Because it
it.
doesn't matter how much research you do, if you do absolutely nothing with the research that you have done, then all it was just research.
That's right. Applied knowledge is power. I love it.
Yes,
Thank
ma'am.
you. Thank you. Well, what is your number is the question that we had today. Do your research and apply it, guys. Face this head on and create a plan. Thank you, Leticia, for joining us today. For my listeners, I will have extra resources in the show notes. I will have Ms. Smith's information as well if you want to get in touch with her and have her assist you or help you. That she has had, look, she's an entrepreneur. She has her business. That's what she does. This is her jam. So definitely get in contact with her. I want you to keep thriving all the way to retirement. This podcast is brought to you by Thrive 12, a resource company dedicated to educators around the world. Please check us out at www.thrive12.com for additional information, and we will be back. Thank you.